Ray Brewer, Case Kiefer, I'm going to make a deal with you. Since I'm obviously about to catch you in the picks, I've been slowly creeping my way up all the way. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to forfeit. You can forfeit the rest of the season if you want to me right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw in the towel. 3 weeks left. I don't want to play. I don't want to get injured.
All right, and your ego will be bruised if I win another season, so I understand. Anyway, probably shouldn't make a joking matter out of it, but big news in the high school football world last week, of course, here on Prep Sports Now. Western High has canceled the rest of its season, forfeited after a hazing incident. So, of course, the three teams they've played, Durango last week, supposed to play Gorman this week, and whoever else the last week will not have a game. Take it away for us, Brewer. What do we need to know about this situation?
Well, what we need to know is that, you know, 3 days after we learn of the forfeitures, you know, we could reflect, and, you know, it's tragic news because, Case, you and I, we always say one of the beauties of high school football is you only get so many games. You know, you got a small window to go out there with some of the guys you grew up with, wearing your school colors, listening to that fight song, you know, going with mom and dad afterwards to Applebee's or whatever it may be, right? You only get to do that so many times. And to sit back here now Monday, 3 days after we learned that Western had to forfeit some games for hazing, their final three games for hazing, that's what stands out to me is the fact that, you know, for the small group of kids they had, that high school experience is no longer. And I think it's a shame.
Sorry, trying to gather my thoughts, but you took me back a bit. I remember multiple times after games where I went with my parents to Applebee's.
Really?
Yeah, but it kind of got ruined. We stopped going because one time a little bug crawled out of my cheeseburger.
Really?
Yeah.
Cheeseburger after the game?
So, maybe I was being hazed.
By your dad. By the guy in the kitchen staff. But, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've never been a big fan of hazing. You know, you remember the thing with Dez Bryant and the Cowboys where it was like, man, I'm not going to carry Roy Williams' pads or go get some hamburgers for the older guys on the team, you know. And on the high school level, to me, hazing is a form of abuse, you know. And obviously, I didn't play football or hockey or, you know, the hazing popular sports, but to me, especially when you're dealing with kids, I don't know if it's a rite of passage of sorts. I think that's kind of exaggerated. You know, is it a rite of passage to tape somebody or to whatever it may be?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really tough issue for me. It seems like it's just changed so much even in the last 5 years, how much hazing has been cracked down on. I mean, I think at least, you know, when I played, and I think a lot of other people, hazing was just part of the whole thing. And, you know, I'm not defending it. I'm not saying it's totally terrible. I'm saying maybe in moderation, hazing is an okay thing. I think tying someone to something is probably going a little too far,
and
or stealing
taking,
something.
Yeah. Now, what did you guys do for hazing?
Well, you know, we had this this thing where every year for camp, when we had like 3 days, we would stay at the school for like 4 days, and pretty much it was just like the seniors' obligation to just pretty much relentlessly beat up on the freshmen. You know, throw balls at them if they get out of line, you know, maybe some other unfortunate things.
Well, I mean, here's the deal now. We're in a day and age of lawsuits.
Yeah, but
now, is there a way where we can continue hazing or some kind of tradition like you guys had, but where the parents have to sign off on it? Like,
yeah.
Hey, your kid's going to be sleeping over at the school for 4 days, and in return, he's going to get, you know, a football to the back of his head 4 times by, you know, Bubba Smith over there, the big offensive guard.
Well, here's the thing. When I say it's changing, I remember right before I was a senior in high school, there was like a couple huge incidents nationally, and everyone started talking about it, and all these high schools nationally started cutting down on hazing. My senior year was the first year ever we didn't have this camp. They said, you can't stay at the school anymore. You can't do all this stuff. And, I mean, we were livid as seniors because we've gone through all this. Everyone's gone through all this. And they're saying, like, oh, no, we can't do it anymore. I mean, like I said, I think some harmless things are all right, you know, to kind of a rite of passage, like you said. But, I mean, I think it shouldn't go too far. And, I mean, maybe in this day and age, hazing, we just need to get rid of it altogether.
Yeah, you know, when I went to the Chaparral High School, I remember walking in, you know, freshman year, just scared, dude. Was afraid to go into the bathroom.
Yeah,
as a freshman.
I know exactly. Me too. I know exactly the feeling.
And I'm just like, oh, what am I gonna do? And you know, Nick Garitano, you know, the great field goal kicker, who's now the baseball coach at CSN. He was a senior, and if you like saw Big Nick in the hall, and that dude was huge as a senior, you like ran the other way because you didn't know what was gonna happen to you. But you know, I was on the soccer team, and I remember being a ninth grader and just, you know, seeing all these older kids who, you know, I knew some of them through the neighborhood or whatever, but it wasn't like, you know, the older guy was going to take me under his wing and I'm the future of the program and he wants to make sure I learn the right ways of the program. I don't know if that happened so much, just where that guy was a senior, that guy was 17 or 18, that guy had a car and I respected him. Tried to stay out of his path, you know, inter-squad scrimmage, let's go. I will tell you, my JV team at Shap beat the varsity team when I was in the ninth grade.
That'll get you some hazing,
yeah,
I would think.
And we went on my senior year. We had one of the greatest teams in the history of high school sports in Nevada. Second USA Today. Take that, Gorman, number two. Woo!
Yeah, well, I mean, that's taking me back. I had those same feelings when I was a freshman in high school. I mean, even before high school starts, you start football practice. When I was in eighth grade, my high school won the state championship with like a really junior dominant class. So all these guys are seniors, and we're getting thrown in. These guys have all these shirts printed with like 36. That's how many games we're going to win in a row if we want to win our, you know, get to our third state championship. And we're like little freshmen scared to death. So you're taking me back. I understand that. And I mean, I think that the final word on this, and this is the third time that we've said this, is, you know, if there's something harmless that's going to get, you know, you together as a program, build your program, you know, have the seniors interact with the freshmen, that's great. But I don't think it needs to be tying someone to anything or, you know, putting their head in the toilet or anything ridiculous like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Now, the aftermath of the hazing is Western forfeits to Durango last Friday, which clinches a playoff spot for Durango. Congratulations. This week they forfeit against Gorman, and then the final week of the season they forfeit against Sierra Vista. Gorman acts quick. It was their homecoming game. They schedule Arbor View in a potential semifinal preview next month in the playoffs, and you got to look at it two ways, Kiefer. One, you got to give Arborview credit. You want to be the best, you got to beat the best. You got to remember last year, Arborview, which is what in the top five of our poll, hung with Gorman in the regional semifinals, especially in the first quarter. They run the double wing offense, which is very hard to figure out defensively. And for the first quarter last year, they gave Gorman fits. A lot of Arborview's players were younger. They're now a year older. Arborview looks great. They got some D1 guys. Love that they're going out and challenging Gorman. Think it's great. It's going to be a great homecoming environment. Other side of the coin, brother. Two coins, right?
Yeah, two.
Why, if you're Arborview, do you want to go give Gorman an extra crack at learning how to stop that offense? You know, why do you want to put your kids at risk to injury going into the playoffs? Why do you want to maybe lose by a lopsided fashion so when the playoffs do come, your kids, like everybody else who plays Gorman, defeated before the ball's kicked off? And then if you're Gorman, you got to be thrilled. The two teams you got to get to beat to get to the promised land, Palo and Arbor, they both run the same offense. Now you're getting a dry rehearsal.
Wait, well,
amen, hallelujah.
Before I get to my thoughts, what's is the promised land the state championship game or the semis?
Well, I mean,
because I would put Liberty in that group too.
Of course, Mr. Patriot. Yeah, Liberty's in that group. Thanksgiving weekend, you're going to get the game. Liberty Gorman, you're there.
All right. Well, anyway.
I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's crazy for Arbor to take the game?
I do. I have a lot of respect for Dan Barneson and his staff over there for taking this game and saying, let's do it. Because if I was in the same position, I would not take this game. I just don't see a whole lot to gain from it. I mean, obviously they think they can beat them, and I think that's why they took it. They think they have a chance. Me, I mean, I not so much. I think they can give them a better game than almost anyone in town, but I just don't see, you know, any way that this turns out well for them. Like you said, why did they play well in the first half last year? Because according to you, at least, Gorman didn't know how to play against the double wing. They had trouble with it. Now you're going to give them a tune-up for the double wing, and then you're going to play them again. They're going to have, you know, have played you. They're going to know your tendencies a little bit better. I don't like the game for Arborview, but I have extreme amount of respect. I'm not criticizing them at all. I think it's great they took the game. But I don't think I would do the same thing.
Yeah, it's high risk, low reward. But
yeah, that's the other thing. If you beat them, I mean, what happens? Like, yay, everyone jumps up and down and rushes the
printed,
field.
Right?
But, you know, then you beat them and reality sets in, oh, we're going to have to beat them again in, what, you know, 3 or 4 mm-hmm. weeks.
But, see, there's this, you know, you got to consider respect, integrity, and doing the right thing. And sometimes in life, you know, it's easy to take the high road. And for Arborview, it would have been easy to say, you know what, we'll pass on playing this game. But you gotta give them props. Go take that challenge by the horns. If you want to be the team on top of the mountain, which Arborview's program is trying to do. In fact, they're expanding their weight room facility to take over the wood shop. They're totally ahead of the curve. You got to play this game. Okay, this is a marquee game. It'd be like Gorman saying, okay, we beat Chaparral from Arizona. We beat Armwood. Hey, let's skip out on the Servite game because high risk, low reward.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying.
You
but
disagree.
The only, well,
I hate,
the only,
I hate
no, 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 no,
me,
no.
But roll your eyes. And, nobody can see. You agree verbally, but you roll your eyes
no,
and shake your head.
I agree with the point, but what I disagree with is that the Servite game is a little bit different. It was scheduled. This wasn't a game that was scheduled. It's not like Arbor. It's not like Gorman to get out of that game and have to call and say, hey, we don't want to play you.
Okay, that's
this
true.
Is a game
that's true. I exaggerated there for effect.
But yeah, I agree with your points. I think we agree on this. I like the low reward, high risk thing. You think, since we're talking about this game right now, we're going to get to the picks, but I think that you are installing Gorman as a 40-point favorite. You told me
that's
walking
what
in
I said,
here.
40.
I think that's a little too much.
You're right. You want to go $5 on it?
Well, we're even right
plus,
now.
We're
even
right now.
I'll take Arborview plus 40.
Arbor plus 40?
Yeah, Arbor plus 40. I've got it.
$5.
Roderick Eason, Donnie Gaskin,
no,
whoever else, if you're listening.
Stuff. None of this backdoor stuff.
Christian Rodriguez. Come on, guys. You got to get my back here. Plus 40, Arborview, mark it down.
I will tell you, Arborview looked awful in pass defense. Remember 2 years ago I told you Gerard Martinez from Cimarron was going to be the real deal at quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and he disappointed a little bit? He sure looked like Joe Namath against Arborview at times on Friday night.
Yeah, and I was actually a little surprised by that score. I knew Arborview was going to win, but I think I picked it close because, you know, I'm a Cimarron homer, but
yeah, it was
they only won by about, what, 15 or 16?
Yeah, and Cimarron got some breaks, but all I'm saying is that, you know, we all look at this, and I know we're talking a lot about Arbor Gorman, but we look at it as, oh, you know, Arbor's going to give its secrets away to Gorman, and then when the playoff comes, it'll be no big surprise. Well, what about the other side of this, Kiefer? What about Arbor getting a chance to slow down Gorman to kind of get a pre-hearse for the playoffs? Are we worried for Gorman giving away too much of its offense to Arborview for the playoffs? Because we're, you know,
I'm not just because Gorman has so much talent to give anything away. I think half of their starters are gonna have to get injured between now and then.
Well, all I'm saying is that nobody talks about that side of the spectrum. You know, now Arbor, whose ultimate goal is to win the whole thing, kind of gets a little crack at it. I will tell you this: Arbor needs. Arbor is got everybody's respect, but they still haven't beat Palo in school history. They still haven't beat Gorman in school history. Right?
Came close to Palo this year.
And came and was competitive. Great program. Top five program. Love what they're doing over there. This could be a program changer.
Yeah, my final thought on the game is, since we mentioned Palo, I think this is a really good preview to see how competitive that Palo-Gorman game could be. You might disagree, but I think Palo and Arborview are so evenly matched this year. I think Palo's a little bit better because of their defense. But I think, you know, if we see Arborview stay competitive and stay in the game, then Palo's going to have a good chance. If we see Gorman just destroy them from the minute the ball is snapped, then I think that Gorman is going to do the same to Palo.
Well, because Palo will argue, maybe not openly. I'm sure Darwin's not going to say this openly, and I don't think he might say it, but I know the kids at Palo will say, well, we ran that offense first, and we run it better.
I mean, I know that's what they'd say.
I know,
but
I know they.
I also watched the game, and I saw the two teams were very even. The game could have gone either way.
Like that guy, yeah, you know, Josh Simonette from Palo?
Yeah.
When I interviewed him about the double wing after the Palo-Arbor game, he basically, let me just paraphrase, he essentially said that, you know, the Arborview kind of ran the dollar store version of theirs.
Wow. Yeah. Ouch.
Just letting you know, Kiefer. Listen,
interesting.
Wait. I got a lot of pet peeves I got to bring up. I wrote down, you know, I always like to write down a bunch of lists.
Yeah, so
I went to the Cimarron Arborview game. Let me ask you this question first. What do you do at halftimes of games?
If you're what? A spectator?
No,
a
you,
player?
What are you? You, Case Kiefer, reporter. 15 minutes, you got a halftime. What do?
I usually go sit on the home team's bench for about 10 minutes, you know, because we're walking up and down the sidelines. Just get a little rest my legs a little bit.
Try to get some water in the heat, right?
Right, right.
Okay, I always call my wife. Always call home. Always have. No doubt about it. It's like kind of my little tradition. But I also, if there's always a football hanging around, I always like hold the football and try to like throw myself a spiral or just do anything. You know, I want to be athletic. So Arborview has got a kicking net and a tee. It's like one of the only schools in town with a kicking net. So I'm like, I'm going to go over there and take a kick into the tee. Kiefer, I was so embarrassed at myself. Dude, I go up, I line up. Now, remember, I played soccer. I got a good leg. My dad tried to make me a field goal kicker. He wanted me to play football so bad. So I know how to
next
kick.
Next Martin Grammatica.
Yeah, I know how to kick. Automatica, baby, right? So I walk it off, and then I go, and I'm about to rip it, and literally I turn my foot like outside, so it kind of hits the outside of my foot instead of the sweet spot, like I was maybe trying a banana kick in soccer. Virtually missed. I ended up hitting the net, but barely. And then I hit my ankle all over the kicking tee. It hurt my leg was swollen up in the second half to where I was like almost limping. If that doesn't say I'm 35, I don't know what does.
All right, we'll keep going. We'll turn this. I'll give my thoughts at the end. We'll turn Prep Sports Now into the Ray Brewer variety show.
Parking lot, Cimarron. What is going on? If you're a Cimarron High School police officer or school official, could you monitor the parking lot? It's against Nevada driving to have kids park, take three spots for their trucks, or to take up two. Is it called double parking?
Yeah, I think double parking.
Well, I mean, come on. There's 18 cars parked doubly for the Arbor Cimarron game. I got to park like virtually on the road and walk all the way in because some kid's got it, you know, his dad's 1997 Ford F-150 parked in three spots. I mean, what's going on? Have you seen that anywhere?
Kids these days, I tell
you. I mean, seriously, you were a kid not too long ago. Would you park in the three spots?
No, but you know, hey, these trends come and go. Maybe it's trendy now to park in three different spots.
I would, if I was the
claim your
system,
territory.
I'd go tow them all and make some money off of it. That's ridiculous.
They could use the money.
I mean, insurance companies have got to be thinking, we're insuring this kid? Parking over three spots. Oh, listen to this. As I rant and rave, there were streakers at the Cimarron Arborview game.
No.
It was so hilarious because there's like three fences they got to climb to get out of the facility. And the kids were like running out of steam. And so they get over the fence, but like no police or no anybody chased them. And so I think the kids end up getting away. But literally you could see them kind of like running. And they're like running out of breath. They're clearly out of shape. Anyways,
did they have masks on?
No, they were just regular kids. They kept their boxer shorts on, but they were barefoot, and they might have had shoes too. Boxer shorts, no shirts. Ran across from one side of the field to the other with like 3 minutes to go. Jumped the fence, tried to get over another fence. Like clearly out of breath, needed a TV timeout and a glass of water. Kept going.
How many? Three?
Three kids. And I think they got away with it. And I think they kind of like crawled to safety because nobody even cared. It was very, very crazy. And then my last one is parents from the stands yelling at their kid to ask the coach to put them in, yelling at the officials. Pay your mission, be quiet, let the coaches coach, let the referees referee. Trust me, if your kid's sitting on the bench, it's because he's not good enough to play, especially if you're at Arborview. They're playing the best 11. That's all I got.
All right, quick hits for me on these things. There's no room for streaking in high school football. I think that we need to take that out. No question. Parking, like
was
I said.
Let me ask you this real fast. Was streaking worse than hazing?
I mean, it's like anything. It depends on the situation, I guess. Probably. Okay. Okay. Probably. I mean, if someone was streaking every game.
That's our subject for our podcast. Is streaking worse than hazing?
I don't even know how we got to this point. The parents thing, I totally agree with. As far as yelling at coaches, that is ridiculous and something that always bothers me whenever I hear it. But I don't think you can tell them not to yell at the referees. I don't like that either, but it's just a part of sports. I mean, go to any sporting event, some guy's going to be yelling at the official.
I agree.
If you're an official, that's what you sign up for, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. The Three Blind Mice song.
Yeah. So I kind of can't go with you on that one, agree on the rest.
My kid's going to be a year old, Halloween. So he's maybe 6 or 7 years away from starting at quarterback for some youth football team. What kind of parent do you think I'm going to be on the sidelines? Do you think I'm going to be the lawn chair guy that sits there and doesn't say anything? Do you think I'm going to be the guy yelling at the coach? Do you think I'm going to be the guy yelling at my kids' instructions? How do you think I'm going to be?
That's so interesting. It's the best question you've ever posed on here. I don't know. I could see you getting pretty fired up. I don't think you would yell at the coach, definitely. I don't see that in you. But we just talked about the official thing. I could so see if the official makes a bad call, you getting fired up and yelling at the official. Am I wrong there?
See, I don't know, man. I want to be, and I've told myself, I just want to be this real mellow dad, real, like, go out and have fun, you know, enjoy yourself. I don't want to be all, don't worry, buddy, you know, the referee screwed you out of the W, you know, it's not your fault type of guy. You know, I want to be like, win or lose, did you have fun? You know, are you doing good in school type of guy? That's me. That's my theory.
Are you going to be a coach?
See, I don't know. That's the weird thing is that I don't know I don't know the X's and O's of football. I don't know where the A gap is or the, you know, all I know is pound the ball down their throat, ground and pound.
Well,
is that enough to coach?
Probably not. Just teach them 1-3-5-7 left, 2-4-6-8 is right.
Is that how it works?
Well, but, I mean, it can. It depends on your own system, but that's what I learned.
42! Yeah.
All right. Well, if you need someone on your staff, I'm there for you.
I'd be a good master motivator, like that guy from Liberty. I'd take his job in a heartbeat. Coach is behind the line. Helmets on. Right.
Mouthpieces in.
Seniors mouthpieces. Yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe you have your future. There you go.
All right. Let's get to the picks. Kiefer, you're catching me. I think you could pass me this week because I got a few upsets. I'm going off on a limb. I think I got a feel it's late in the year.
Yep. Time now or never, I guess.
For you.
For me, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
All right. But and for you for being bold and kind of making some statements.
You know, life is about making choices.
Here's one that you have not been too bold in. I think you picked the way everyone's leaning. The Thursday night game, Rancho at Las Vegas. Rancho coming off a huge probably the second biggest upset of the year, I'd say, when they beat Desert Pines. Now they go to Las Vegas for the Bone game.
Yeah, and here's the deal. I always said that this was going to be the year Rancho was going to be competitive in the Bone game. The senior class of Rancho went 8-1 as sophomores. The lone loss was to Vegas, and it was close. However, it hasn't translated to the varsity level. Rancho's lost this game 15 years in a row, or I guess I should say Vegas has won 15 years in a row. I don't think it's going to be different. I think Vegas wins pretty easily. Unfortunately, I think this game is one of the top three in Nevada history. It's most storied rivalries. And it's a shame that because Rancho's lost 15 years in a row, it really doesn't even register. So I think the rivalry needs a Rancho win. I'd love to see a Rancho win, but let's be honest, Vegas will win.
Yeah, I'll take Vegas, too. Maybe Rancho can have a shot in the next couple of years. Is that far-fetched?
Well, if you take Henderson and Victor out of the Vegas equation...
No, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think it's a good game.
All right, so Las Vegas for both of us. Next game, really looking forward to this one. Foothill and Basic, probably going to be the game of the week. I look at these two teams, I just think they are so equal. If you look at the scores, if you look at their common opponents, they both beat Silverado. They both lost to Green Valley by almost the exact same score. I just think that they are really evenly matched. I think it's going to be really close and can go either way.
See, it's the battle for Boulder Highway, and I know Basic's going to be up for the game. And I know they already lost to Green Valley this year, so this is kind of a mulligan game of sorts. But I just don't know if – I think that Basics offense is dynamic, but its defense just has been a kind of a disappointment. And I think, you know, Kyle Kieplinger is such a difference maker. I actually was going to pick Foothill in lopsided fashion, but I toned it down because it was a rivalry game. So I have Foothill winning. I think it's going to be easy, but out of the respect of the rivalry game, I think it's going to be closer than it would be if it was just two random schools.
I can't believe you see it lopsided.
I just don't know if Basics got an answer for Kieplinger.
Here's my thing. I think is it fair to say Foothill has had a great year? They've exceeded our expectations, but they're not as good as last year, right? I think last year's team was better. They're undefeated going into the final game of the season.
You're right. Last year's team had some marquee guys. You know, Keegan Buck.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think this year's team might have more talent.
I don't know. Okay, well, here's what I was getting at. I was going to say I think Foothill's team was better last year, definitely, even though I really like Foothill this year. And I think Basics' team is better this year, for sure. And last year it was a great game, 20-13. I actually just went back and read my story before we came in here. And I don't see anything why it's going to be any different this year. I've got Foothill winning by, like, 1 point. I think it's going to be that close.
What would you set the line at in this game?
Since it's that... Honestly, you were going to laugh at me at this, but I said it at a pick'em.
No way.
Yes, I said it
at
a pick'em.
Bro, you got to be. If my 40 points on the Gorman game is a little too much, I'm telling you right now that, well, first of all, this will be the most, more people will be at this game than probably every game except Paolo Gorman this year. You know, huge rivalry game, battle for
the highway. And it's at Basic.
At Basic. Listen.
At Foothill, Foothill's a 2.5 point favorite.
I love this. Theory, Foothill's going to go in there, beat Basic, and then date their cheerleaders Friday night. Give me the Falcons.
All right, well, I'm open for business. If someone wants to get in touch with me, pick them. I'll give you either side.
Okay. All right.
Still in Henderson, Liberty at Coronado. You laughed at me last week. I'm going to say it again. Coronado, sleeper team 2012. I think they're going to compete for the playoffs next year. They're young. They're good. They've given everyone they've played a game. And, they probably won't this week, though.
They will not this week because Coronado is extremely undersized and weak up front. Liberty, huge, strong, power, ground and pound. I think Liberty is going to flex its muscles going for back-to-back undefeated seasons in the Southeast. Kudos to Coronado. They beat Del Sol 17-0 last week. They're definitely reasons to be excited for the Cougars. Just won't be that way against Liberty. Also, Cody Messina, torn ACL, not playing.
What in the world is Coronado thinking? This is their homecoming?
I don't think they schedule. It's just wherever it falls on that day. They don't look at who they're playing.
You always are supposed to look at who you're playing.
Well, that's in Alabama and other places. Here, it's right. Just, you know, I think the school system only allows like 8 or 9 homecomings a weekend because they only have a certain amount of police that could get to each one of them.
Okay. Well, I still can't believe their homecoming game is Liberty.
Did you go to your homecoming dance?
Of course.
Yep.
Did you?
I went to homecoming, and I went to prom. I went to prom twice, actually, junior and senior year.
Yeah, I think I went to all 4 homecomings and both proms, 6 for 6.
Have I told you my Jubilee story?
No, this should be great, though.
As we transgress. So I took this girl to prom. Senior year, May senior year, like we're graduating a year. So we got tickets to the Jubilee night show at Bally's. Have no idea. Turns out that's a topless show.
I do not know this.
And no clue. I'm 17 years old or 18 years old. I got no clue. So I go in. We're there. And the usher walks us right to the front row. And then so the show starts. Still no idea. It's topless. And then all of a sudden you realize it's topless. So you're an 18-year-old kid. I have no idea what's going on. So the girl I go to the dance with, she gets offended that I'm like staring too closely, apparently. And put it this way, long night, lesson learned, whatever.
Why is the girl offended?
I don't know. Like, I was supposed to only look at her the whole time. I mean, it's art. Come on.
Oh, my God. This is the greatest story ever. I really hope that... Aaron Love has his homecoming date ready to go to Jubilee Saturday night after he beats Del Sol.
You know who Aaron Green Love's Valley's homecoming. Homecoming?
Who?
Nick Lebanati's sister. Now, only I can give you those kind of information.
Wow.
Yes.
Are they going to hit up Jubilee beforehand?
I have no idea where he's taking her. I'm just letting you know who he's taking.
I don't know what's going on, but I've got Green Valley in this game, and you somehow are picking Del Sol.
See, I thought we were talking about the Coronado Liberty game.
I thought we were done with that.
Okay.
We both got Liberty.
Okay, here's why I'm taking Del Sol. They've lost four games in a row. It's been ugly. Okay, they cannot complete a pass from me to you, and we're standing about 2 feet apart if they had to. Del Sol still has Chris Marshall. Green Valley is going to be focused on the homecoming. They got their quarterback's out injured. They got the JV kid up. Del Sol needs to win this week, have Basic lose the Foothill, and then beat Basic next week to get in the playoffs. This is a Del Sol program with rich history and tradition. Chris Marshall's one last chance. I think they get it done. Too many distractions for GV. Don't call it an upset. I've been here for years. Give me the Dragons, baby.
Listening to this, it has me reconsider. Have you ever considered high school gossip journalism? You might want to switch into that from high school football after listening to that. You come in with a scoop of who Aaron Love is taking to homecoming, but you totally miscalculate the game. Give me Green Valley all the way.
Okay. All right. Listen, Del Sol lost 17-0 last week. They looked awful against Liberty. They lost in the WAPA. Nobody's going to disagree with you. Del Sol, major disappointment.
Yep. All right. I was joking earlier. All your teams are just falling by the wayside here. I'd say Chaparral's your favorite team. Del Sol's your second favorite team. And Desert Pines is your third. And they also lost last week. But they have a good chance to get back on track. They're playing Sunrise Mountain.
If they don't get back on track, they should retire. Desert Pines big.
Yep, Desert Pines. El Dorado and Chaparral. I've got El Dorado, and I think you're going with your alma mater here.
I can't figure that out, dude. This is the cleat game. Let's give a little background. Merlin Olsen's cleat. The most important game of the season. Chaparral, two wins the last 3 years, both against a Sunrise Mountain team that still hasn't won a game in its three-year existence. But for all that's gone wrong for my Cowboys, Kiefer, they win one game. They have one night. It's all forgiven. It's all forgiven, baby. Chaparral, big history. People care about the game. Win the cleat. Get the program back on track. They looked great last week against Valley. Antonio Thomas, the junior tailback, who's rushing for like 200 bills a game. What does he do, Keith? He's in the Wildcat. He's shaking to the left. He's shaking to the right. Valley can't contain him. I just think that this Shap is set up to win. Now, the one thing I can't figure out is, you know, you hadn't shown the Wildcat all year, and then against Valley you bring it out, and Valley can't figure it out because they didn't see film on it. Why not hold the Wildcat until El Dorado? It's the only game that matters.
I don't know. See, maybe you do have some more coaching chops than you think. I'm going El Dorado. I just think they're a better team from top to bottom.
Well, because every week you've told me how bad El Dorado is this year.
What?
You've been a Sun Devil hater all year.
That doesn't mean I don't think they're better than Chaparral. Give me El Dog. Valley in Canyon Springs. Valley at home. Canyon Springs posted the shutout last week. Looks like they're playing well, and I think it's going to continue.
I agree.
All right, Sierra Vista and Durango. Durango game last week got canceled. Sierra Vista playing better. Upset special from you here?
No chance. Sierra Vista, just real young. They're Wilson and Green, both sophomores who are good. Young players prone to mistakes. Durango has got the fourth seed locked up. They're trying to figure each other out, a lot of new players. I think Durango takes advantage of the opportunity, post a W.
Yeah, I'll take Durango, too. Gorman, and oh, well, this Gorman and Western is on the schedule, but we already picked this. We picked Gorman and Arborview. I have them plus 40, Arborview.
But you've got Gorman to win on the money line.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking Gorman to win the game. Bonanza and Spring Valley. I think this is called, what, like the Battle for the Banner or something?
The Battle for the Banner. You see the kids jumping up and down over a banner?
Yeah, I don't know. Why is that? We shouldn't get off subject any more longer here, but just really quickly, why is like every rivalry game in this city for something?
Well, because, you know, they see Henderson Bowl and how much respect it gets, and they think, oh, we need a game that makes, you know, that amount of sense. And, you know, that game kind of – the logic behind it is when Spring Valley opened maybe 7 or 8 years ago, they took a lot of students from Bonanza and Bonanza's coach, Johnny Macon. And so a little rivalry was formed. Here's the deal. I think Bonanza wins the game, and I think that – Bonanza is going to go to Arborview in the first round of the playoffs, and I think they might give Arborview fits because I think Arborview might look past Bonanza, FYI.
All right, well, I've got Bonanza, too. They're going to bring the banner back. It has been at the Spring Valley for a long time. Where do they keep that banner?
I think it hangs in Marcus Till's office the last time I was there.
Oh, really?
Because I'd never seen it before. I'm like, what is this? You keep it outside? He's like, I don't know. He gave me the history of it.
Oh, cool. I wonder if Sean Dupree will put it in his office or maybe bring it back home to his house, put it on his wall or something. Pahrump Valley and Desert Oasis. No rivalry game here, but Desert Oasis has to make the trip up to Pahrump. I don't like their chances.
Pahrump or Desert Oasis?
Pahrump.
Oh, okay.
I like Desert Oasis' chances fine.
I like Desert Oasis, too, and I think Desert Oasis realizes that they got to stay sharp. They got the 2 seed wrapped up. That means they're going to host either Chi-Town or Centennial. And the playoffs looking for the school's first ever playoff victory.
Who'd you rather play if you're them, Centennial or Chi-Town? Because last year they were in a really close game with Centennial. Centennial won. But maybe they have some confidence that they could beat them. Cheyenne, I mean, obviously super fast. I mean, who would you rather play?
I think they match up better against Cheyenne because I know Centennial is going to be, you know, powerful playoff football. You know, football in the playoffs isn't like the regular season. You know, you run between the tackles. You try to control the clock a little bit.
Right. Speaking of Centennial, this is a pretty good game. Legacy at Centennial. Kind of a must win for Centennial, but I think they're going to get it done.
I think they're going to get it done, too. They need to keep winning to stay in contention for the 3 seed. Obviously, nobody wants to be the 4 because you got to play Gorman in the first round. Legacy... who knows what's going to happen? They've been a major tough team for me to figure out. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'd say I thought that they were down a little bit, and they went and beat Moapa, and I just don't really understand them.
No clue.
All right, well, Mojave and Cheyenne,
Chi-Town.
You love Mojave so much. I forgot to put them up there with your teams that you love. Are you taking Mojave in this one?
I'm taking Cheyenne. I think Cheyenne is primed to go to the second round, and they know they got to beat Mojave, which they're clearly better than. But Sparks could fly. Who knows? We'll find out.
Faith Lutheran and Palo Verde. I think this is going to be a little bit different than last year. If I remember right, there were like 80-some points scored the last couple of years in this game.
Let me give you a quick rundown on Palo. Friday night is when football is supposed to be played, but Palo played on a Thursday, on a Saturday, had a bye. Now they're playing on a Friday, and next week they're going to play on a Thursday.
Interesting.
So it's like, can we get a schedule set? No, you're going Thursday, Saturday, week off, Friday, Thursday. You know, it's tough to get in a groove. I mean, that's enough to bring some teams down.
It's not enough to bring them down, though. They're going to win this one.
I think they will, too.
All right. Silverado and Moapa Valley. I think this is going to be... really, really good game. I think this is one of the closest of the week.
And you went to Moapa last week. We don't even talk about it.
I mean, there's just so much to talk about this week. It's been tough, but yeah.
How long did it take you to get there?
Well, Steve Marcus, our photographer, drove. It took probably an hour and a half. Does that
sound
right?
What kind of music does that guy listen to in the car?
He didn't listen to anything. He actually gave me some history lessons.
Really?
Yeah, it was great.
About Overton?
About like, oh, here's the Valley of the Fire on your right. This Indian lady would rob people and go hide out at the tank. I never heard any of this before. And now I get home and I tell my longtime girlfriend, like, we got to go to this Valley of the Fire place. I heard it's like Red Rock, but cooler.
Nice. Well, did you eat there? Because our friend Tristan over at the RJ endorsed their stadium grill.
I actually didn't eat there. I couldn't quite wait. I ate before that, but Marcus, the photographer, he did make some friends, and I think the Rotary Club or whatever gave him a free hot dog and hamburger.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Moapa Valley, a team we've enjoyed covering all year, and a Silverado banged up, clearly more talented than Moapa. I just think you're asking a lot for a team to go up there and win in Overton. You said it best. It's like you're playing in the middle of Kansas. You're from Kansas, obviously, or have ties to Kansas. Give me the Pirates.
Yeah, I don't know here. I'm going to say this. If Moapa played pretty poorly against Virgin, or defensively, they played absolutely great, shut them down. Offensively, they couldn't do much. And I think Silverado is really talented. I don't know. I think I'm going to shoot myself in the foot and take Silverado again. But I will say this about Moapa, that Connor Mortensen kid, I know they have a lot of running backs, a lot of different kids around the ball, but Connor Mortensen runs as hard as anyone in town. I mean, this guy, Virgin Valley, played good defense. They wrapped him up kind of at the ankles. That's what you got to do with how hard he runs.
Yeah, it's just, Moapa's just not flashy.
Yeah, not flashy.
They don't have that kid who's going to win a foot race or, you know, excite you in a punt return, which is okay. You know, they're going to be in the 3A championship game this year, right?
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Silverado, I'm going to take here in what I think is pretty much a toss-up. Last game, Boulder City at Clark. Another one that's pretty interesting, and who knows what way this could go, but it's at Clark, so who do you got?
I've been burned a lot this year with Clark. I don't know why I'm picking them, but give me the McKinney brothers, plus the points and on the money line.
I'm kind of leaning Clark here, too. I can't believe it, because Boulder City last week, it sounded like played really well against Basic. They kind of held Basic down a little bit on defense,
which
scored
once late.
You're still
giving Basic a pick against Foothill, but that's fine.
Yeah, you know, this is exactly what it's called in sports betting. You have the recency effect. All you're remembering is last week. I'm looking at the whole season.
Well, all right.
All right.
Recency
but
or not.
I'm taking Clark. We got one last game. Sorry, I almost jumped the gun. Cimarron and Shadow Ridge, another homecoming game. Can you tell us who the Shadow Ridge kicker is taking to homecoming, since you told us who Aaron Love did?
No clue, but this is Cimarron's last game because they have a bye next week. So, Damari Williams, one last time. Oh, baby, can we give it one more try? Have you heard that song before?
Yeah, but I got Cimarron, too. I don't know who sings it.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I got Cimarron, too. Should be a great week. We'll be back again Monday. Hopefully give you some more great stories about Brewer's high school years.
If you made it through all 42 minutes of this podcast, drop us an email. We'll take you out to a pizza party at Chuck E. Cheese.
Or Jubilee.
Yes.